So if you have your Bibles, turn, or if not, I'll just read it. He spoke on Acts 1, verse 8. So I would like to read Acts 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So that's what he spoke on. He talked about the Holy Spirit giving us power. It's given to us to use, but he doesn't want to use it for ourselves. He wants us to take it out there. He asked us, where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea? And Jerusalem would be maybe our homes. You know, just our immediate people around us would be our Jerusalem. And our Judea, which was like just a little farther out, maybe that would be our neighbors or even just Leduc. And our Samaria might be a little farther yet. Maybe we go to Hope Mission or we go to some other place where we take the light and God's power. And so that's kind of what he spoke on. And we got to go to the ends of the earth. We got to go to Costa Rica. The Holy Spirit sees our heart. He wants to transform our heart. He sees what our heart is now. And God's word says that our heart isn't really in the greatest shape at a lot of times. He says it's desperately wicked. But he wants to transform our hearts. That's what God's Holy Spirit was put out there, was given to us. When Jesus left this earth, he said, "Stick around, I'm going to send you some power. The Holy Spirit's going to come." And that's what he did. And that Holy Spirit is supposed to transform us. And believe me, if you resist that transforming, and if you refuse it, there is another power that wants to transform you too. There are two directions. There's the direction that God wants us to go, and there's the direction that the enemy wants to go. And if we don't want to be transformed and surrender and give in to that transformation, there is a power that will transform us this way. So I thought that was pretty serious, what he was telling everybody. It wasn't a real sweet, wonderful, kind, like, happy message. It was a serious message. Pay attention. And one of the other things he said, I mean, his message was long, but one of the other things he said was our focus. Where we focus is where we will go. Have you ever been driving along and you say, "Oh, look at that fabulous field of alfalfa," you know, and you're driving along, and what happens is your car tends to go where you're looking. And so that applies in our life too. Where we focus is where we will end up going. So our focus, God wants us to focus on him. So he also asked us kind of a serious question. What are we doing with what we're being taught in church? He said, are you just sitting here and taking the messages in? And Pastor Shannon's been giving us some awesome messages. Are we just taking them in to get fat? No, we're supposed to be taking them in and taking them out to the world, not sitting here just learning all we can learn and just getting all we can get. That's not what he wants for us. He said, we are supposed to take it out. If you're going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in us, to transform us, to give us that fire to go in. And I mean, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's God's way. He wouldn't make it hard enough for us not to do. So that's kind of his main message was, you know what, where is your Samaria? And this pastor was just such a humble man. He never bragged about his he was with Operation Christmas Child for 12 years. He's the director, the head of it there in Costa Rica. But, I mean, he was so, he was humble. Like, he never bragged about anything. He didn't brag about the church that he was leading or any of that. He just was doing the work. And you could just feel this love that he had for the people, the poor people. It was fabulous. So that was the message. Those were the last words. Those were the last words that Jesus said, like this, what I read to you, yet you will receive power. That's the last thing anybody wrote down that Jesus said before he was taken up to heaven. So I think that's pretty important, too, that that's the last thing that was recorded. He wanted us to take that message out. And in verse 11, the end part says, it says that, you know, like, why are you looking? Why are you standing here looking at the sky? Because that same Jesus who came, was taken from you, will come back someday. And that's what we have to concentrate and focus on, too. That same Jesus is going to come back. So that was, like, my kids laugh at me because when I've kind of gotten kind of a little preachy, I always say, here endeth the sermon for the day. So this is going to be the end of my sermon. That was the end of Pastor Carlos's sermon. So very important things to think on. And as we went through Acts and all of that stuff with Bible study and those kind of things, there were good. So now I'll get to my Costa Rica trip. You're seeing some of the pictures there, so Gina's will talk about all of those later. So how did I end up going to Costa Rica? Somebody said, well, was it a church trip? Was it a what trip? You know what? In the middle of October last year, I got an email from Samaritan's Purse and said, hey, would anybody, you know, be interested in going on a mission trip? So I thought, wow. Well, maybe if I'm going to ever do that in my life, I should maybe think about it. And so I started to pray about it and think about it. And I looked at some of the things that they offered. And kind of my first one was a little bit farther away, not such a safe country, kind of for a little bit longer time. But Rudy decided that he couldn't go. So I said, no, I need to pick some place that he will have confidence in and that's short enough that I won't be gone that long. So I applied, which is what you do. And I guess in the States, it's much different. In Canada, we can, you know, just, they'll take anybody, like they took me. So they'll take anybody in Canada, like who wants to go. But in the States, it's different. Like you have to be invited. I guess technically I was invited, but I mean, I think it was a general email. It wasn't specially for me. It's a little different if you live south of the border. But so I was very blessed. I applied. They accepted my application. And I said, guess what? I guess I'm going to Costa Rica. I better start saving my money. So I started to save for it. And then I said to Gina, I said, hey, would you like to come with me on a missions trip? And she said, oh, Mom, I'd love to go, but I don't know how I'm going to ever do that. You know, so that we said, you know what? If it's God's trip, he'll provide. And so she said, yeah, okay, I'll see if they'll take me too. So she put in an application, and she was accepted too. So there's proof. They'll take anybody. Just kidding. Just kidding, Gina. So, and then we had, what they do is you get one training session to kind of introduce you to the, yeah. You guys are seeing all the pictures Gina's going to show you in a little while. we went on a training session. They taught us kind of a little bit about poverty. I'm sure any of you that have been on missions trips have had the, you know, like we call them third world countries. We call them, you know, like they're underprivileged. They're, you know, things like that. And so we have to be really careful because who decides what riches are? Like, we've got tons of stuff, we've got tons of money, but does that make us rich? Not always. Lots of times they have very little, but they are so rich in other ways that we got to be careful how we judge and label people. And like, this is a third world country. So they've got other ways that they're labeling them. Everything's a label, but it's not quite as third world. It's a developing country. And so our trip was from April 3rd to the 10th. And like, by the April 3rd, it was like a couple minutes after midnight on April 2nd to the 3rd. And so Gina and I, we asked if we could fly to Toronto from Edmonton, which we did. Most everybody else was going from Calgary. And we said, well, why should we drive to Calgary and then fly? So her and I, we flew from Edmonton to Toronto, and that's where we met up with the big group. We met them in Toronto. From Toronto, we had just a little bit of a layover. We all had to wear our Costa Rica t-shirts, which we should have worn today, Gina, instead of what we wore. Oh, well, too much information. Anyway, we had our t-shirts so we could identify each other in the airport, and we could know who was, kind of like on this team. And so we flew from Toronto to Liberia. And when we got to Liberia, they pulled the ramp up to the plane, and we got off the plane. And my first impression, whoa, it's hot here. And it was like probably 35 degrees, and it was like just cooking. Because, it was still rather cool in Alberta. So we got through immigration, and then they trucked us outside in the heat with our bags behind us in tow. And we got on, saw our fabulous bus. And it was this big green bus that said, there's big Spanish letters on it. I don't know Spanish. But I'm assuming the little sentence underneath was what the Spanish one said too. And it said, God is always faithful, on the side of the bus. So it was like we were taking that message wherever we went. We took the message that God is always faithful. So that was, it was very cool. Our bus driver's name was Jose. Not that that really matters, but there's a lot of Jose's in, in Costa Rica. But he was a Christian man, and he owned the bus, so he drove rather carefully. He was a great driver, and he was just a servant, just had a servant heart like crazy, too. Like, we had water all the time. We kept wondering why they were stopping at that store all the time. It's because we were drinking water like crazy, and they had to keep bringing the big jugs of water in for us. And so we were always hydrated, and they took such good care of us. I just have to say, they were very, very good. They took care of the flights, they took care of our food, they took care of transportation. Like, our hotel rooms, we had nothing that we had to worry about but doing that work that we were there for. And that part was so good too. So our home away from home, like from Liberia, we got on the bus, and it was like 2.5 hours away. So it was a pretty long bus ride, and we were very thankful that it was an air-conditioned bus. And we met Don Carlos on the bus. He was there at the beginning when we got on. And I've already told you that he just has such a heart for the poor. And he didn't tell us, but somebody else told us that every week he feeds. Now, they said he feeds, so I don't know if that's his church doing the feeding or if he personally does. It's quite possible he personally does, because he gets a wage. He's probably one of the more rich people there in Costa Rica, but every week he has 70 people that he feeds, because they don't get that much food there. And even if it's beans and rice, it's food, they're thankful, that's, so like I say, I don't know that part of the story, if that was just him personally, or if it was his congregation that does that, but in any way, it's a good, what he's doing there. So our first day, they just kind of made us pretend we were the kids. Well, some of us got to be mothers. We got chairs to sit on, and the other ones had to sit on the floor. They said, okay, you're a boy 2 to 4 years old. Well, we did have very few boys in our thing, so some girls had to pretend to be boys. So they lined people up on the floor, said, this is how it's going to work. You know, the 2 to 4 year old boys will be in this line, the 2 to 4 year old girls will be here, the 5 to 7 year old boys will be there, the 5 to 7 year old girls will be here, the 10 or 5 to 9 year olds, the 10 to 14 year olds will be here, boys and girls. So it was very organized. This was not their first rodeo. They'd done this before. So they had them all lined up, well, had us all lined up, and they were showing us the kind of the ropes and how it was going to work. And I guess because I'm a believer, for sure, I thought it was a fabulous way. Like, yes, they were going to be handing out these gifts, but that wasn't the biggest gift. The biggest gift was, before the kids even knew they were getting a gift, they were given the gospel message. And they had posters. They showed them that God is a good God. Started out with the poster that showed he created the earth. It was perfect. Everything was in place. It was beautiful. It was just fabulous. And then sin came in. So by sinning, it no longer was fabulous. It was no longer beautiful. There was no longer peace on the earth. And so then they asked the kids, so sin came in. Do you guys know what sin is? And there was a few little kids that put up their hands. But they just had such a neat way of explaining sin. They had, you know, I mean, this is for kids. I'm kind of a kid, so I understood this really well. They said, sin is anything you do, anything you say, anything you think that would not make God happy, that would not be pleasing to God. That was the definition of sin for these kids. Anything you do, anything you say, anything you think. And so they had them do this too. That would be against what God set out in the beginning on that first week. So it was so plain, and the kids were just like you guys are, listening with every ounce. There wasn't a peep out of them. I mean, there was like 20, 30 kids in the room, a couple places even more than that, and it was quiet. And nobody was standing over them telling them to be quiet. They were focused on this salvation gospel story. So then when sin came in, then they kind of had like a poster of kids being mean to each other and bullying each other and hurting each other, murder. Like they had, I mean, it wasn't terribly graphic, but the kids could tell, like, you know what, those people don't look very happy. Stealing. And then, like, the only thing that was going to fix this broken world now was going to be Jesus. And so they showed Jesus, kind of, you know, his work on earth, kind of what he did, you know, had the typical picture of Jesus with the little kids and stuff like that. And then, because of that sin over there, that somebody, God said, if you sin, somebody has to die. And that Jesus came down and he was willing to die. He was willing to take that problem that I have and die for me. So that was on the poster too, that Jesus died for my sin, the things that I have done that didn't please God. And then, but that wasn't the end of it. So then they showed him resurrected, that he now is a living Savior. He's no longer dead. He's here. He can give you strength, and he can give you power. And the kids just lapped it up. It was so beautiful to see. And that was his, kind of one of his callings too, like the people there and even just Samaritan's Purse is, tell it to the children. Tell it when they'll still listen. And I mean, they'll still make their choices, but they will have heard the gospel. And they did. They heard it. And so then, okay, now all of these little kids, they got a book with probably, I didn't look at the book, but it was probably the same pictures and the gospel message in their language and that. And so they, after that, then they had, okay, you know what? Oh, I forgot one part, you know. Anyway, that we're still kind of on our typical day, so I'll get to that other part. So that was kind of the gist of that first day. They showed what was going to happen, and that was also the gist of what happened when we went there. So what we did on our days, the beautiful thing even about this trip, I don't know if it fits here on my card at this spot, but the beautiful thing too was every part of our day was covered in prayer. Not only just our own personal prayers, because we would all just start out with our own personal stuff, but then we'd get together as a group, the 27 of us. We had two leaders. The 27 of us then would get together and have a devotion time, prayer time about what the day was going to bring. Then when we went to the place, we, whether it was a school or a church, we'd get the teacher or the pastors, whoever was hosting, we'd kind of get them at the end of the whole gift box thing. We'd get them together and we'd pray for them. And then at the end of the day, we had debriefing. Sometimes if it was a long, long day, we debriefed on the bus because we were a captive audience and we had like 2 hours to get back home. So we kind of, they talked on the bus about our day, what might have been hard that day, and there were some hard things. What might have been hard, some of the stories we heard that really like hurt our hearts. And it just goes to show that, you know, people are people wherever they are. There's pain and there's heartache and all of that wherever you are. And Costa Rican people are happy people, but they have the same thing every human being has. So then we got to the all of those things that I was telling about these kids all lined up, and that happened. But when we would get there with our big bus, the kids are all excited, they weren't told they were getting a gift. They were just told these people from far, far away were going to come and play with them. And that's what we did. We had our stations where, you know, like I was a bubble blower. Can't you see that? There was tattoo artists, face painters, the sports team, like there was all of these, and the crafters. So there was all these different things where the kids could go and play. And that's what we did. We got there and we set up our stuff, and then they let the kids all come to us, and they were free to go wherever they wanted to. And so then kids they're so beautiful. Like they're just into it. I mean, these kids had never seen bubbles before. And it was so cool because they were just squealing with delight and chasing these bubbles, just like you guys would do. Well, when you were littler. Yeah, like, I mean, trying to smack them or catch them with the bubble thing. Like, it was great for us. Like, I mean, we went to serve them, sort of, but, man, we were the ones that got served. We were the ones that were fed and just kind of excited over these little kids. And so then after we did all that, while we were doing that, the other part of the team sneaked in the gifts and lined them all up. And it's all very organized. It's not just come one, come all. They are all invited to come. So they knew how many 5 to 7-year-olds they were going to have. They knew how many 10 to 14-year-olds and girls or boys. They knew all of that beforehand so they could bring the right number of gifts. You're not going to give a 10-year-old a gift for a 2 to 4-year-old. Like, that just doesn't work that well. So it was by invitation. The pastors went out before we got there and, you know, got the day and got the invitation out, and so they knew who was coming. So anyway, after we did our play thing and the people behind the scenes lined up all the gifts up here, they'd have them covered up with a sheet, you know, so that they couldn't see there was presents there. And then they kind of, okay, you know what? We got something else for you. Do you want to see what it is? It's underneath this. You know, and they would, you got to count to three, though. You know, so they'd, one, uno, dos, whatever it is in Spanish. And so then they would reveal that there's gifts. Well, they were pretty excited. But then they said, you have to close your eyes and accept the gift. Like, there was so much deepness behind all of that. They had to accept the gift. So they closed their eyes, and you'll see on the picture some kids sitting there like this with their eyes closed. A couple of them would peek, you know, just like all kids, you know, they'd be sitting there with their eyes closed. And then our job was to go and grab a gift and put the right gift in their hand. And then they'd sit there, and then when everybody had their gift, they could open their eyes. It was just very exciting. And so, yeah, and after that, it was like chaos. Up until that point, it was very organized. After that, when the presents were being opened, you know, I can imagine it would be probably something like Christmas morning. Anyway, and then, so we would get to go and help them open their like, cut the tape off their boxes. And it was interesting how some of them kind of reacted. Maybe I'll leave that for you, Gina. You can talk about, like, how some of them reacted to the gift. And even what some of the stuff was in the boxes. So, you know, when you're up here, you can tell them about that. But there's one story about the one lady had been on, I've got lots of stories, but like you said, I can't be here for a day or a thousand years. So there was a lady who'd been on a trip, and she said, these kids should have a drawstring bag. I mean, you know what it's like, how you've seen how some of those shoe boxes have stuff crammed in them? And, you know, they explode. How are you going to get all that stuff back in that box? Like, really? I think some people, like, air suck the things out of there. And you know, so this one lady, so don't tell me you can't make a difference. One lady said they should have a drawstring bag. So she went back home. She started sewing drawstring bags by herself. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't take much to sew a drawstring bag, but it's one person. So she got a couple friends involved, and they were helping too, sort of almost like dress a girl. But then she said, we're still not sewing enough. Like, there's hundreds of gifts we need. This lady went to the prison in Calgary. And she went to the warden and she said, do you think any of your people would be interested, your ladies who are incarcerated, or the men, whoever, who are incarcerated here would be interested in sewing? Give them something to do. We have a project here that that they could make a difference on. So they took it to whoever they had to take it to. And they said, yeah, you know what? I think that would be a great idea. So these women in prison started sewing bags for Samaritan's Purse, for Operation Christmas Child. And the coolest thing, too, is every one of those bags that we gave out, one side of it was red. And it was the material. So not only were the women sewing, but somebody from, I don't think there's anybody from the government here. I don't know. Maybe they stole it. I have no idea. They were using the same red material that those prisoners would wear when they went out on the street and cleaned up stuff, or like on work crews, they always have the same red coveralls on. They used the material that those prisoners would have gone out. And been picking up garbage. That material was in those drawstring bags. Every, like, one side. And then there was, like, the other side, there was other materials. But I thought, what a way that God could work with one lady who just said, hey, you know what, they could really use this. And so every person who got a gift got a drawstring bag. So after all of those dollar store gifts are gone to you know where they go, they will still have a really sturdy drawstring bag to remember that gift and hopefully remember the greatest gift of all, that somebody loved them enough to come from Canada, but more so, love them enough to come from heaven to give them a great gift. Yeah, I agree. So we had a few barriers. We had like a language barrier, because most of us, there was one lady who could speak Spanish really well. A couple people knew 6 or 8 words. But some of us knew very, very, very little. Gracias. And de nada. Anyway, so, but then after we kind of got over that initial, like, kind of freaking out about not knowing the language, we decided there's other ways to communicate. I can communicate with you by pointing, you know, like, oh, you want me to take that? Okay. So, you know, like, there's other ways to communicate. So we did a lot of, you know, like, sign language. And, like, the language of love. Marjorie passes that around without saying a word. We hugged those kids, those moms. We had one mom at, I think it was the last place we went. She was so excited to tell me something. And she had her little guy next to her like this. And she pointed and she said, like, you know, her bambino, you know. I said, that's your baby? Mm-hmm. So then I got my baby next to me. And I said, my bambino. Oh, really? Like, you know, it was so cool. Like, it didn't have to be great sentences and great. It was the language of love. And it was just so beautiful that I just wish you all could have been there. And I hope you all, like, take an opportunity to try go on a mission trip like that maybe someday. It would be fabulous. So, like I said before, what I was feeling, I think it's a total privilege. This is the part where I'm probably going to cry and blubber and carry on. But it's a total privilege to come and tell you about this mission trip to Costa Rica and just how I saw it. And I want to tell you, you know what? We didn't start anything in Costa Rica. God was already there. He was already working with a team of people that he set out in Costa Rica. We had fabulous interpreters. That there was one gal who was like, had like a YWAM. That was her job. She'd been doing it for all these years, working for YWAM. There's 6 YWAM kind of centers in Costa Rica. And she, that was just what she did. That was her mission. And there's other ones. There's one gal worked with, she was interpreting for us this week, but her job was working with prostitutes on the street. And another one had done other things. Like, you know, it was fabulous. We had so, and it was such a privilege to see that God was already working. We didn't come and bring some big fabulous message there or bring some. They probably could have done this mission without us. Maybe not quite as easy, because, like, we really had some good value in that playing. In the playing time, there was a lot of us, and we really played around, believe me. But God already had a passionate team there, and we joined with them. So in us, with us joining with them, we were their encouragers for that week, or that day we were there, for those 2-3 hours, however long we were there. It was usually, I'd say, what do you think, Gina? Were we there 3 hours, probably, like at each place where we'd go? Because we'd play for about an hour, and then the gift thing. So I'm guessing it was 3 hours or so. But we were their encouragers for that time, that somebody would care enough to come from over there. And we believed in the same God. It was amazing. Just all the things that we've been doing in the last few years, our story, because lots of the ladies on the bus got up and told their story over the, and it was so cool, because here we are from churches all over Canada, And we were all doing the same thing. Like, you can't tell me that's not a Holy Spirit thing. That they were also telling their stories and how important it was. And so, like, it wasn't just one little fractionated church here and there. It was God's church. And Gina will tell you about God's church, like how they didn't differentiate about, like, well, what church do you go to? How many people do you have in your church? Like, there was none of that. It was, we were all part of God's church, God's family, and nobody ever even asked. You could volunteer it if you wanted to, but all the different people that we visited with never, you know, asked, what are you? You know, I'm a child of God. I'm your sister. And that's exactly how we felt. It was so beautiful. I'm sorry, Rudy, I'm getting back to my notes. These were real people. Like you and me. They had hopes, their dreams, they had heartaches, they had sickness. We keep in touch now through a WhatsApp app, and we've had tons of these people who are still in Costa Rica, well, even some in Canada too. We share our prayer requests with each other. And it's just fabulous. It's like our little Costa Rican mission. So, anyway, like Don Carlos said, where is your focus? If you focus on this world and what it has to offer, that's what you're going to get. If you focus on the other road, that is what we'll get. Our true future isn't here. Like, this is such a temporary place. We're not going to spend forever here, and so we need to keep reminding ourselves, don't spend all of our energy here or our time or our money on stuff and things that we're accumulating. We should love the people around us, even the ones that have hurt us and annoyed us, the ones that aren't the same as us. Maybe they don't believe the same as we do. Maybe they don't believe in God yet. We don't know what God's doing in their life. And we don't want to be the one, whether it's to a little child, they warned us about that, and to the people in the, where we were going to mission to, they said, like, be careful, because they have made bridges between the people. Don't you go in there and chop that bridge down for them. Go in there and support what they're already doing. And like, it was a fabulous message. And we just, you know what, yeah, we're not here to, we aren't the Savior. We all know who that is. So, like, that is kind of basically what I have to say. And just to ask again, like, where is your Jerusalem? Your Judea, your Samaria, and hopefully you will get to, like, to the ends of the earth someday, get a chance to go a little farther out and see what else God is doing in this big world. He wants to save everybody. He wants to save kids and adults and drug addicts and prostitutes in every country. So, like, open your eyes, see where God is working, and, like, say, don't be so worried about this teeny little bit in time. So that is my message. So, Gina, if you want to come and do the picture stuff, do we have a remote?
To turn it on. Oh, you guys can hear me. Good. Thank you. Oh, man. Yeah. I cannot even tell you how extraordinary of an experience it was. I want to encourage anyone, if you have it even ever crossed your mind there. We met people in our training that go because they lost their husbands and they don't want to travel alone, stuff like that. So there's a lot of awesome, I don't know, am I supposed to turn this on? Ooh, cool. There's a lot of awesome opportunities for yeah, like, Mom, that is so cool how you said, like, we're shifting out our encouragers with them, you know, and just going there. Because I was a little bit, I have to say, myself, I was a little bit uncomfortable with the idea. And it sounds weird, but just, I was just like, bus full of, you know, we're going to go and do something. I just felt strange. But once you get there, you realize, like Mom said, we're all this family. And it was the most renewing thing I've ever, it was so wonderful. It was just absolutely awesome. So we had a gal, one of our interpreters was a photographer. She would take photos. I'm clicking the thinger. Okay, so that's fine. This is Don Carlos. Mom explained really well, too, that he had a neat, like, heart. I don't know how, you know how you, when you meet people, even just sitting next to you today, and you just see their, you see them. And that's what all the people were like there. It was the coolest. Click. Okay, we went to quite a few schools. This one I remember because it was a tough one. It was a tough one because the teacher there was a mom to a lot of these kids. They had been abandoned, a lot of them abandoned by their mothers even, which was like, what? And so awful. She mothered a bunch of them, and one little boy we prayed for at the end, and we prayed for the teachers. They asked if anyone could take him and adopt him. It was heartbreaking. It was a hard thing. So this was a tough school. Click. There's Mom rocking the bubbles. We did a lot. Like the playing games was amazing. It was really well organized the way they did it, and it built something other than just like an unusual transaction of showing up and just giving them, like, it was like we got to look in their eyes and chat and try to have conversation, even though we didn't know how to speak Spanish hardly. It also click. Yeah, it was awesome. The gal at the back is showing them something on her phone. So I don't know what she was showing them, but the kind of teen group of that place where we were like, wow, this is so cool. Click. They had, everything's outdoors, like very open, right? So they had like these types of fences and stuff to keep a facility enclosed and things. The pastor, one of the pastors of the church we were at on Sundays on the left there, and we had always set up, we'd show up and we'd just like, okay, we're going to set up, we'd move the tables, and we'd do, and we had nail painting and all these things. So click. It was very cool. Hopscotch, another school. Click. Lots of them, they wore uniforms, which was good. And I think I want to mention that I have since getting back, like, gone on this, like, online. Samaritan's Purse and lots of other groups are so spectacular. They give you a chance to gift give via, like, just clicking, really. It's that simple. So I don't know if you can sponsor giving them uniforms, but you can give all sorts of stuff, right? Like cows and sheep and all sorts of neat things. This is the lines. They would put them in lines. And then the book they're holding is the Greatest Journey book that Mom was mentioning. And then they're invited to come, click, to the Greatest Journey. It's like a 12-week vacation Bible school after that point. And then they can learn more about Jesus. And we learned that some of these churches, click, oh, that's my girl. I gave her that box. I didn't know if I would do it, but I did, and it was just, it was crazy moving. It was amazing because you think of this little person that you're packing the box for the whole time. You don't really realize it, and the other people were getting all blubbery all week about giving their box to the people, and I was like, I don't know what your guys' problem is. But then I did it, and I was a mess. But so her name is Madeline. She's a sweetheart, and this church where we were, this was the last one we went to. It was a church, not a school, was children. It was like a church of children. It was unreal. It was so cool. And we heard about how oftentimes that is how their communities are changed, as the children come and they go to church, click, and they bring their parents along. They help heal their families from the children's point up. Click. We'll try to move quicker. So cool how the young men, too, for some reason, I was just really, the little eyes of those boys and the young men was neat. In the background is one of our gals. Her name was Madeline also as well, and she had her birthday while we were there. It was cool. Click. And we'll see her with other, it's neat because we're just all the same. We're just just totally. And that's a little blue dress. They wear those for school. Click. More excited faces. Click. The face painting. You can actually also get shoebox containers that aren't boxes. They're containers. Click. From Samaritan's Purse. That's us opening the presents. Oh, man. I said to my mom, I shouldn't just agree with her because she was trying to eat the silly putty. And I was like, nope, not a snack. Although you just wanted to be like, I know, it's so exciting. We're trying to pack it back up. Click. Yeah. So this was all that same location. That pastor was a woman. She pastored this group of, it was a church of children. Click. And they were actually very affectionate. Click. There was a few at the end. We're getting on the bus. And I don't know if they could tell, click, that we were getting to the end of our trip. Such cute little people. But there was a group of young men, like little boys. They weren't really men, but they were little boys. And they're kind of mulling around. Like, I think I'm just going to get a little bit closer to you. And they just wanted a hug. It was the weirdest thing. It was so beautiful, though. And so I said, you're a good man, young fellow. He was so cute. But there was a bunch of them. They were so affectionate. Click. Yeah, bubbles. Click. So cool. You can put all kinds of things in shoe boxes. Click. You really, like, people do, they do a really awesome job at the distribution centers. If you ever are like, I'm not up for a trip, you can go help at distribution centers, and they, like, unpack them, make sure they're safe, everything. They also gave us a chance to watch if someone was really shorted for some reason. There was, like, a less in their box. We could, like, top them up. We had a little gift for that. If we need to, click. Click. So cute little faces. I'm trying to go quick. We were crammed in some of the places because that's actually that church. Click. That I was just telling you about. Oh, that's a good one. Click. Ha! They're growing too fast. She says, I can't. I talked to the pastor. I don't, like, with an interpreter. And she's like, I can't fit everyone in here. And that was awesome. So cool. Click. We have to be really careful about what we posted. So you're getting to see, like, all of the really human's faces, right? We were really careful not to post, like, photos. I don't do a lot of that anyways, but of people, because they're people, right? And click. They did a lot outside. Sometimes we, those are those bags Mom was talking about. Click. And, we got to hold babies. Got to hold babies. And because they can do outdoors, we had, click, we had been to one church that was under a tent, because that's what they could borrow. A real interesting story behind that. Click. And, yeah, the little boys, they got to wear those kinds of uniforms usually, the white shirt. I don't know how they kept them so clean. Click. But they did. Yeah, so here's the one that I was telling you about with that was bursting at the seams. They would meet outside, too. And when we got to go to a graduation ceremony. They had that outside. Super cool because it's warm. I don't know where the bugs are, but it worked out pretty good. Click. Yeah. Click. Oh, man, we had so much fun. Click. They were such affectionate moms, too, and stuff. They were really, it was cool. It was neat to renew your faith in humanity, right? Because you just got to see people just like you. Click. And they walked everywhere. Yeah. Click. One of their big struggles is, I mean, really, it's no different than if here you just didn't have wheels and you lived remotely. Like, they're born in remote places and that's where they live. And so they have to walk several miles to get places. Click. It's a real thing. Oh, Tom's shoes. We did that. So the people in the back would find the sizes. We would kind of figure out what sizes. Click. And fit them with Tom's shoes as well. Click. Click. Yeah, it's cool. Click. Okay, this is the graduation ceremony. So after the 12 weeks, they have a graduation ceremony for having finished. Then they get a Bible in their own language. And then they've done Vacation Bible School, The Greatest Journey. And they keep on learning about Jesus like the rest of us. Click. For the rest of their life. Click. God willing. They were very happy, actually. It was cool. Here as well, they had click. Click. That's the Bible. So it's a whole different location, this one. And those are the posters. So Mom was talking about Samaritan's Purse has done a really good job of streamlining and making sure that all of their messages are always the same. When they are anywhere in different countries, they're always following this Vacation Bible School model that tells about the gospel. And that's how they do it, is through these pictogram things and stuff. Click. So it's really cool. I don't have a photo, and I don't know what to talk about. But, no, I just have to say, even with the Toms thing, I realized how a lot of things, but I realized one of the things was I was very cynical about, things myself. So it was very cool to see that there really are hearts that are, not doing anything but just, hey, we're just doing the best we can. And they're giving, and these companies are trying, and they're working to just fill the gaps for families, just like we would be, which just because of their geographical reality really is why they just, need some encouragers to come and fill in the gaps. I think the one other thing that I thought of that is was really encouraging for me as well that I thought I would share, it just was a moment, was when I thought too about the opportunities out there, like Mom was saying about the sewing bags, that people are carving little, old guys, really old guys from way up north, 90, they're carving little cars out of wood because that's what they do. It gives them purpose again. And I think sometimes, on a day like today, Mother's Day, and your kid's getting older, and you're like, ooh, what am I doing? you can always find purpose. It's really cool. It's encouraging to know that there's a kind of a piece of the puzzle for each of us. We can all fit really well, and that's what we felt like on that trip, too, was all pieces of one great big puzzle of God's love. So thank you, and thanks for your support, and I hope it wasn't too long. Thank you.